Yeah. What's going on, all you scallywags out there? Welcome to your Monday. It's time for the world's most hated, and you know what I love it the most. Raise it. Online show in America. It's the Reese on the Radio Rundown with yours truly, Mr. Reese on the Radio. Welcome. That intro sounds like the Connecticut schools because it was meant to. They understand the whip. If you've never seen that movie before, you might recognize the face of the person in that video clip. That is none other than Angelina Jolie's father, John Voight, in a film, an old film, called Conrack, about a white man who goes to a black school to teach young Southern boys and girls some learning. And the kids, they just don't know anything. The school's just failing them. And he couldn't believe it that he goes into the school and realizes these kids don't know anything. These kids don't know crap. Never been to a movie. They don't even know who Sidney Poitier is. I can't help but think about the good people of Baltimore who technically these Negro children are smarter than. They just are. I'm in a great mood. I'm in a glorious mood today, other than the fact that I have to find some paperwork. My wife just sent me the email they're looking for. Okay. Plenty of news and plenty of music. Everybody knows sometimes the paddle and the nunchuck is needed. Why, Mike? You're such a bigot. A lovable bigot, I might add. thank you for all the folks checking out on WTIC today. That was great. I was on from 2 till 6 p.m. and still was able to come here and do the show. And I will be there all week because it is Thanksgiving weekend. So you'll be able to catch me there. So if you don't catch me here at night and you're looking for something to do during the day, just go to WTIC.com. Right there, you could catch me on there from 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. all week except for Thanksgiving, and talking about anything and everything. I am going to do something, folks, and it's important that I make this clear. Maybe some of your advice will help. Send me an email to reachontheradio@wackfm.com. Send me some ideas. I want to get, and tell me if I'm off my rocker as well. I want to get the governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, to recognize the error in his ways. If he mandates this electric vehicle thing in Connecticut, the mandate of the electric vehicles in Connecticut, poor families are going to suffer. They will not be able to get an electric vehicle. They're not going to be able to lease one, to buy one, to get a loan for one. It's just not going to happen. And there's only one thing left. They're going to have to leave the state of Connecticut and get to a place where they don't have the mandate. And I think, this is my view, I think there's a way to get him to back off of this idea, and it's going to have to be race-related. Hear me out, because I'm literally spitballing here. But I'm going to formulate how we're going to present this. People on the left are very concerned about what appears racist, bigoted, and white supremacist. Now, I saw a video earlier today where there was a young lady suggesting that even sleep can be bigoted. that the reason why black people don't sleep as well as white people is because of racism. And I'm serious. If anything and everything is racist, how is making people drive electric vehicles who clearly can't afford them, who are now going to be forced, you know, to pay for things, something they clearly can't pay for, and then leave the state because they have to follow this mandate, right? It's for everyone. How is this not driving poor black and brown people out? How's it not? It will. They will be the ones who are the most disenfranchised. And no one even appears to be asking the governor the question. Hey, how are poor working class people, and not just black and brown, even poor whites, how are they, those who have cars, probably 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, in the coming years, because this is a five-year mandate, what happens in 5 years when these people can't afford a car and they can't get to work? They can't afford these new cars. What's going to happen to them? Are they going to be forced to leave? How are they going to be subsidized? Are you going to make a bus routes for them? They will have to decide. Thank you, Haggis. That's a great point. They'll have to decide which is more important, climate change or racism. Amy asks, how are people in apartment complex supposed to all have EVs? You'd have 100 to 200 people all charging their cars at the same time. No grid can handle that. Very true. And I believe that Ned Lamont, the governor of Connecticut, is quietly trying to drive poor people out of the state. Now, he'll tell you he's not, but how could he not be? How could he not? They can't afford it, no matter how... Unless he puts the burden on every other taxpayer, how are they going to be able to pay for the electric bill that's clearly going to skyrocket with all the people on the grid? It's either that or rationing, and who will be rationed? Will rich people be forced to use less energy so the poor people can use more of it? Who will pay for that? Will the rich people pay for more energy that they're not allowed to use while the poor get to use it? How's that going to wash? John Beckman says, if I were black, I would tell governor I can't drive an electric car because it reminds me of the electric chair. One charging station is the equivalent of the use of 300-plus homes annually. Goodness, there's no way you can do it. The ultimate goal is to stop people from moving about the country. Need to limit everyone's carbon footprint. That's a good point, Haggis. In fact, I made that claim today. I made that case today. That this also alleviates traffic in the state as well. You don't have as many people driving in an electric vehicle because they can't afford it. Right? So traffic, that's minimal. The only people who are going to drive are the people who can afford to. This also plays a part in that who can afford to. Who can afford to be there? Who can afford to be in the state? Clearly, poor people, more than likely black and brown, will have to leave the state. There's a limited amount of wealthy blacks who live in the state. And the state has 3.6 million people in Connecticut. 350,000 of them are black. The number of Hispanics in that, just above that, about 2 to 3% higher. So what happens to them? They can't afford to live in the state. The mandate is clear. There aren't enough buses. The bus thing, they did the electric bus thing in Connecticut. One of them blew up. That turned into a complete ridiculous campaign. So what are they going to do? And these people are not going to save up enough money for an EV vehicle within the next 5 years. They're living paycheck to paycheck, for crying out loud. Will a new immigrant be given an EV car? Great question, Haggis. Great question. And once the poor are gone, the rich will be taxed till they're poor. Exactly. They'll be making up the revenue that the state has to get. Good point, Michael B. Amy says, isn't all new cars must be EV, or will you have to replace the car no matter what in 5 years? That's a great question. Remember, they're going to eliminate fuel, gas in the car, right? So that means that if there are more and more people with an electric vehicle, if all new cars are now electric, soon you have to phase out the gas guzzler, right? Those get old. Those get antiquated. You can't keep them on the road. The objective is to get everybody on electric because you'll force them. No new cars sold in the state are going to be gas guzzlers in any way. Maybe a hybrid here and there, probably for other industries, but not all. Everyone will have to get an electric vehicle. Everyone else's car will eventually phase out and die, you know, broke down. They won't sell any of those replacement products because, again, you'll have to wean yourself off the gas guzzler. So what happens? The combustible engine is no more in the state. Your car is obsolete. You haven't saved enough money. Can't afford one? Too bad. We banned it from the state. You can't have a gas, a combustion car here ever again. You got to leave. No more combustion sales after 5 years. Hello, Chrissy and Fritz. Good to have you here. So once your gas car dies, there you are. You have to get an EV. Yes. Therefore, you have to move. You have to move to a state where they're not going to have that mandate. Connecticut, again, in my head, I don't believe that Ned Lamont, the governor of Connecticut, wants to get people to leave the state. Nothing is a blight on your, you know, your term as governor than to have people have a mass exodus. But I think he's so caught up in the agenda, he thinks that everyone's for this. Do electric cars use jumper cables to jump other electric cars? I'm surprised New Jersey hasn't done this yet. Murphy's not trying to lose an election. They'd have his head. Remember, it's New Jersey. The truckers in New Jersey would revolt if they were all forced to go to EVs. Michael says that they will hand out vouchers paid by taxpayers. I believe that too. But again, there's going to be a drain on the electric grid. We know that. They'll have to ration electricity. We know that. Who will be rationed? Do we ration the poor? He's never going to do that. So you'd have to ration the rich. And the rich will pay the high exorbitant electric prices. The poor cannot afford them. So someone's got to subsidize them, and that will result in higher taxes. Connecticut will end up like California and penalize people that are trying to leave the state, which makes it even crazier, right? California, now think about what makes this more insane. Think about what makes this crazy. California is 40 million plus, if you're lucky, in the entire state. Compared to Connecticut, with 3.6 million. How in the world does Connecticut believe that it can model itself behind a state like California? The infrastructure isn't there, just people alone. It isn't there. Yeah, brownouts in more ways than one. Yeah, you're right. Brownouts more ways than one is a good. That's exactly what will happen. Browns out. Courtney has probably experienced a brownout because of her drain on their systems already. Because, yeah, it's a good point. It's, you know, again, I have no idea why he's doing it, but I'm going to try to get, you know, people to get in the governor's ear and have him answer some of these questions. What exactly are you planning on doing? What are you planning on doing? Okay, I want to get into this today as far as some video is concerned. Joe Manchin is probably going to run for president. There's a likelihood of this, okay? I'll get into that in a minute, but this was something interesting someone brought up on WTIC today, and I promised that I would play it for them, so I hope they're here to listen to this. New polling data came out of NBC News. Why is it relevant? For the obvious reasons. it's a good idea to see what the NBC News audience is saying about the presidency and about the run for president. But there was something that the caller said that was really interesting, and that was this idea that the Democrat Party is looking for someone to replace Joe Biden, not just because of his age and not just because his numbers are hemorrhaging. It's because in a head-to-head, in every poll, Joe Biden is trailing Donald Trump. So this poll hid something and waited until the end of the segment to point it out. Now, this is Kristen Welker, the new host and moderator of Meet the Press, and Steve Kornacki, who is their lead pollster. We'll go through all of what they said, but it's the last part of this poll that is the most evident thing that they wanted to give out. They saved the best for last on this poll. And trust me when I tell you, folks, and there's even another part about Nikki Haley that we'll get into as well. Too. I went ahead of me. Listen to this very closely. I'll stop it intermittently to interject, but listen closely. Why is that part significant? That's easy, right? The party is clearly up in arms. And when I say the party, I mean the progressives, who many believe run the party now. They are up in arms about the handling of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That's they're concerned about. And the 33% approval rating is, again, shows you exactly how many moderate Democrats they are. I'm going to get into that later. Moderate Democrats who approve of the president, who are probably going to support him, that's a small number. When you see a disapproval at 62%, even if 10% of that was because they don't believe he has a full-throated support of Israel, that's one thing. But that means there's a good 50% of the progressive left who want him to side with Palestine. And I truly do believe that's what it is. I truly believe that's what it is. And the disapproval numbers from September, you know, again, they were already there. And that's where I'm making that off. That 11% is very key. That's why I'm making that 10% comparison. Because even if that number's there, this used to be up there. That immediately shifted to 62 from the 41%. That's where I believe it's coming from. Anyway, I digress. Moving on. See my point? There it is. Older Americans who clearly support Israel, overwhelmingly, those older people, 65 and older, 53%, that's that number there. That 41% disapprove, you know who that is. You know who that is. That's easy. That's radical older people at 41%. A reasonable split, by the way. And if there's a disapproval in the plus 65, that's 41%, they're probably Jewish Americans. And many of them know Jewish Americans. That's what I believe. That number there, he's about to bring up the young vote. Listen closely. That's not helpful. And this president would literally tomorrow have to come out and condemn Netanyahu and Israel in order to get that number back. That's what he'd have to do. He'd have to literally, he'd have to go 180 out of phase. Yeah, Kristen, yeah, you know it. It is a critical group. And you know he's lost the election if indeed he doesn't get that group back. They really, really want her. They just want her so bad. Ron DeSantis is sitting at number two. He goes from 16 to 18. He actually grew. The guy's practically done nothing other than do a bunch of interviews, but he actually grew 2%. Donald Trump actually goes down 1%. And the most important story is Nikki Haley. She's in third place. And we're talking about third place. In this case, she's what? At 43% below the front runner? Well, thank you, Rama. Nikki Haley is like fetch. Stop trying to make it happen. For those of you who remember Mean Girls, that's exactly right. Why is this guy so animated over this? It's the way he talks, Amy. It's just he does this thing. I think it's his signature thing. He's very animated. Is what they're, that's the one. That's the one that scares them the most. 18 to 34, Donald Trump beats Joe Biden beyond the margin of error. That is the concern, which leads us to the last part of this poll. Within the margin of voter fraud. Now, this is the part you need to pay attention to, because NBC is sending a very veiled message to the Biden administration, supporters, surrogates, even donors, with this last poll. They want anybody other than Joe Biden. They're sending that veiled sort of, come on, man, get anybody else. They beat Trump. You really want to beat him? Anybody, any Democrat you put on the stage, they will beat Donald Trump. Anybody. Joe Biden's got no shot. They also put that poll up there that says that Joe Biden against any Republican loses. Get rid of him, we stay in power. Congratulations, Chrissy. I'm glad to hear that. That's where we are. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Rama, for that. I meant to play that video, but it's just too many curses on it. I didn't have time. Rama's talking about what Michael Rappaport. If you haven't seen that video, it is even I had a good laugh. Michael Rappaport, who's been calling Donald Trump some of the nastiest things, is screaming for Donald Trump to be put back in office and says that Joe Biden must go. We need to get all this stuff back and get this country back in order and get things back in alignment. Michael Rappaport screaming that Joe Biden needs to go. Cardi B as well. But the Cardi B thing, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Cardi, I was never a fan. I was never a fan. I kind of thought you were sloppy. I know people, love you and, the hip hop heads are really digging you, but I never dug you. You're just a former stripper, with a couple of rap albums. But I'm not impressed at the fact that you are so worried about, where the state of the world. In one breath, this lunatic says, I ain't got no love for the cops, but you're complaining about Eric Adams cutting the budget for police officers and talking about how everybody's going to get robbed in the street, but you ain't got no love for the cops, but you're concerned about everybody getting robbed. Oh, yeah. Michael B. said, hookers, Mo. I don't give two damns about hookers. Michael Rappaport spent an entire career culturally appropriating black people, and now he's super Jewish. I know. You said that meatball was a stripper. Not only was she a stripper, Amy, not only is Cardi B a stripper, Cardi B was also a grifter stripper who used to pile her, I don't want to use the term Johns, but let's just say certain victims she would drug up and rob as a stripper. And those aren't my words. Those are her own. She got a lot of hell for that, for openly admitting that guys who were trying to sleep with her, she would ply them with spiked drinks and then rob them. that meatball. I can't believe you called her a meatball. It's just mean. Yes, Fritz, you are definitely going to see me at Avon this year. Not Avon the product, just Avon the town. Speaking of, again, back to Meet the Press. Joe Manchin, senior senator, West Virginia, he has decided that he is no longer, he is not going to run for reelection. And there are rumblings that he is going to be running as a third-party, no-labels candidate for the presidency of the United States. So, again, this particular field is going to be full, right? We've got Robert Kennedy Jr. We've got Cornel West. We've got Joe Biden. We've got Donald Trump. I believe Jill Stein is running as well. And, yeah, I'm positive. Jill Stein is running as well. And now we possibly have Joe Manchin. And, you know, again, watching the news media lose it about these spoilers, you're going to make it difficult for Joe Biden. You're going to make it difficult for Joe Biden. He can't stop himself. Kristen Welker here talks to Joe Manchin about that, about him being a spoiler. Me, I would have. We all did. Are you kidding me? When Ross Perot got into the race, we knew Herbert Walker Bush was a bust. Wait, Ross Perot didn't enter the race as a Democrat. He didn't even come off remotely liberal. He was a Texas businessman. God rest his soul. Ross Perot, I mean, we're talking before the whole, you know, people trying to kill him nonsense, but Ross Perot was a pioneer. He may have been a little comical with the funny voice. I'm Ross Perot. But he was serious. Conservatives love Ross Perot. It's the reason why Herbert Walker Bush lost. Not because, who thought that Ross Perot was actually going to help Herbert Walker Bush in 92? Who's that guy? I couldn't believe he said that. Anyway, he went on. Everyone did. Robert, of course he does. Robert Kennedy helps Joe Biden because of independents who like Robert Kennedy Jr. Middle of the road and some disillusioned Republicans. Not because they hate Trump, just because they're never Trumpers. But Robert Kennedy Jr., yeah, of course he takes support away from Donald Trump. He also hurts Joe Biden. He's actually middle of the road. Manchin and Kennedy are going to peel some. I think the Democrats have pushed too many minorities to Trump. I agree with that, Michael B. I get the devil. Yeah, it's a lot to say that Robert Kennedy hurts Trump. There's concern that he does, but I don't think that's what they're concerned. I think Robert Kennedy really hurts Biden, especially because I don't know if you heard this, but there's a lot of rumblings that say people in the NFL and the MLB, Major League Baseball, are showing a lot of support, if not interest, in Robert Kennedy Jr. So I don't know if you've heard that, but there's a couple of reports out about that. I think Politico has a story like about that. It's not like that's really his choice, Joe. He's got no control over where he is. His party is done. Let me start by saying that. His party is finished. And I hope I didn't cut this clip. I'm going to make sure that I have it here. I have a feeling that I did. But I'm going to check just to make sure. There's a... a clip I want to say. Here it is. This is, yes, this is that clip. Bear with me for a second. This is Jordan Peterson talking about what the Democrat Party has become and why they need to be pushed. They need to be pushed back on some of this progressivism. Listen closely. Talking about here, again, progressives are forcing Democrats to be silent about things that Democrats are vehemently against. They are not for the mutilation of children. They're not for that. Democrats are not for drag queen story time or family-friendly drag shows. They're not for it, but they're not pushing back against it. They're not. They're barely even speaking up. Just recently, the White House was forced to respond to the TikTok challenge of Osama bin Laden's letter to America. They begrudgingly had to tweet out that we do not support Osama bin Laden. That they'll be, please stop sharing that trend. And this campaign wishes to actually campaign on TikTok. And they won't condemn the actions of the people who are in the streets singing the praises of not just radical Palestinians, but Hamas as well. Why? Because they've got a chokehold on that party. They clearly do. Don't forget about, you know, abortion up into the date of birth. These are things that moderate Democrats, and clearly Joe Biden doesn't support that. He claims to be a Christian, but in his right mind, do you really believe that he stands for? No one's ever asked him. No one's ever asked him. They asked that idiot, Corinne Jean-Pierre, what she thinks. She believes that he believes that this is between a mother and her doctor. This is between a woman and her doctor. Well, what does he believe? How does he feel about aborting children up until the date of birth? Just that. Just hold them accountable. No one's been held accountable. But this White House loves the transgenders, and Biden has spoken about protecting trans youth multiple times. Sure, he has, but he's not for the mutilization of children. I know he's not. There's no way he is. Oh, I'm echoing. That's my fault. Sorry. I had two lines open. Thank you for telling me that. Yeah, the whole idea is that they, all of these things that they know, they don't stand for, but the progressive left will never allow them to make a point. He's been clear. That's right, even though he's coherent. Yeah, he's been clear. Yeah, well, trans youth, people walking around wearing a dress or pretending to be boys by cutting their hair short, that's one thing. But when they start mutilating themselves, that's different. And you know, and I'll even go one step further. Let's forget about the whole Joe Biden aspect of all of this. Average Democrat who supports Joe Biden on whether or not they believe that children, girls, should be cutting off their breasts or boys should be cutting off their penises in the form of, affirming care. Whether or not they support the idea of these hospitals putting their children on puberty blockers. Ask the average Democrat if they support that. They don't. But they won't push back on it. They've never spoken up publicly. Never. When have you heard Democrats standing around going, no, we're not for this? No, because again, united they stand. They can't push back on any of that craziness. What's another thing that they stand for? Here again is Jordan Peterson explaining exactly where this party is today, how they orient themselves morally. That's the whole deal. It is oppressor versus oppressed. Everything is about power. The scary part about all of that is that what they want is the power. They want the power switch. What do they want from the corporations? Do you think they want the corporations to cease to exist? No, they wish to take them over, right? They want to take the power from the corporation, give it to the employees. It's a power switch. The patriarchal society should now become the matriarchal society. It's just a power switch. They're not talking about just eliminate the power, period. Everybody's equal. Remove power. Agnes says the woman in red is thinking to herself, damn, he's smarter than me. Yeah, look, you know, yeah, racism under new management. Candace Owens is right about colleges. She cared to elaborate, sir. Care to elaborate. Anyone taking bets on Tulsi Gabbard running third party or talks for VP? I don't know. Not that she wouldn't be a good idea. I just don't know. I don't know if Trump supporters would get behind it. But I have to ask the question. Think about everything that Jordan Peterson just said here, right? Everything is about the power struggle. Even the LGBTQ community. What are they pushing, right? Heterosexual normative, right? The world is heterosexual, and that's normal. We need to reframe what's normal in sexuality. Because, again, inherently being heterosexual is power, and we have to remove that power. And who do we have to give that power to? Obviously to the LGBTQ community. Like they're going to dole out sexuality in its appropriate measure. You know, we're going to make sure that we have enough. And look at what are the rest of those people doing? CBS. I mean, even Bill Maher mentioned this, speaking of which. Bill Maher mentioned this. CBS television is going to guarantee that all of its new shows after 2025, all of its new shows, 50% of the writing staff must be black, brown, or indigenous. 50% of the writing staff must be black, brown, or indigenous. Why? How is that indicative of the culture? What if the TV show is about a Jewish family and Jewish traditions that's a comedy? Who in the black, brown, or indigenous community is going to be able to write about that? Or is 50% of the programming on CBS now going to be black, brown, or indigenous? Who's going to watch this nonsense? People promised me that television shows after the election of Barack Obama, that more television programming was going to be black after his election. We got Blackish. Oh, and the Carmichael show, which was straight garbage. What are you talking about? Blackish was the only thing we got. Isn't Paramount part of CBS? Yes, it is. We're going to have indigenous people writing season 3 of the new Frasier. I don't know. Apparently, I think the Dems are the racists. I don't know any racist people. Wow, that's horrible. Sure, the big donors were just fine funding colleges when they pushed all this anti-white crap. But once it turned anti-Israel, they pulled funding. That's a great point. And you're right. Those people are not out of the woods yet, ladies and gentlemen. They are not out of the woods yet, those supporters of all of these Ivy League schools. They're not. They deserve the scrutiny that Mike is pointing out here because they were absolutely fine pushing this new racism on college campuses. Now all of a sudden they're in trouble, which I found that interesting. Okay, we are there. Okay, good. I'm trying out something new. And if you're interested, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it, okay? Right after I play this clip, I want you to look on the screen right there between my name and the Resetter Radio Sunday Show program. Pay attention right there. After I play this clip from The View, I'm going to try something new, and I'm going to see, for those of you who are interested, try it out. Please bear with me. I'm trying it new for the first time, okay? Anyway. Univision is under scrutiny from the ladies of The View. And why? Because they dared talk to he who shall not be named. Before Anna tells you, let me tell you what's going on here. Univision means one vision. That's it. That's all you need to know. And they went cockeyed on them. Univision had the nerve to give a different vision. And John Leguizamo, I mean, seriously? Is Selma Hayek pissed off? I'll listen to her if she's pissed off. Selma Hayek. How about Penelope Cruz? Is she pissed off? I'll at least listen to her. Huh? Seriously. Any one of those chicks that was on the George Lopez show, are any of them pissed off? Hey, if Eva Longoria's got a problem, I want to listen to her. But John Leguizamo, yeah, Sofia Vergara, does she have a problem with this? Those women I'm going to listen to. But Anna Navarro and John Leguizamo, those are the high-level Latinos. And what about Jennifer Lopez, Ricky Martin, anybody, Mark Anthony, Tito Puente, he's dead. Who cares? Is there anybody else? Selena Gomez. Does she have beef with this? By the way, is it me or did Selena Gomez, did she put on a little bit of weight? I've watched her on that Only Murders in the Building thing. She's looking a little pudgy. I'm just saying. Yeah, what does Freddie Prinze Jr. think of this? I'm sure he's got nothing to do. What's his? Rita Moreno could not be reached for comment. Yeah, what do they think of this? John Leguizamo and Anna Navarro, that's it? That's all you folks got on the people who are pissed at Univision? Do you think these two yahoos are going to get a Univision boycott? Give me a break. Anyway, here's the rest of it. How many calls? Seriously, you got so many calls? Really? The afternoon staff at Chipotle don't count. To get out one point of view. Because Jorge Ramos, speaking of which, is nothing more than an activist. He's not a reporter anymore. But then how would you don't know him. Please shut up then. For what? Hold them accountable for what? For having an interview with Donald Trump? For giving equal time to the opposite side of what Univision is supposed to be? That's it? That's what they're supposed to do? Hold them responsible for what? I mean, accountable to what? It's on the left or it's nothing. Again, Univision. Yeah, rename it Dual Vision. Leguizamo was pissed that Chris Pratt voiced Mario because he's not Italian. But look, Leguizamo played Luigi and he's Colombian. Yeah, I know. But Pablo Escobar. Next thing, Goyo see. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That's right. Remember when the head of Goya, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, called for the boycott of Goya because he showed up at an economic summit, a Latino economic summit, during the Trump administration. Yeah, the Spanish vote does lean Republican, and she knows that. That's why she's up. She has more voices in her head than phone calls she got. That's a good one, my friend. That's a good one. She's the epitome of what mental disease looks like. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we're trying something new, folks. And there it is. We are trying something new at the end of the show. Right there is the new telephone number for the Reese on the Radio Rundown at night. So if you want to call in during the show, I'm going to put that near the end of the show, and you can call in now. And all you have to do is call in. If you want to, you can just push the number one so I know that you want to be heard from. Okay, and then you, of course, can be on the show and talk about all of the subjects that we talk about if you have a point of view. I know one of the people who are probably going to call in is our good friend White Mike. So if you are interested, there's the number. We will do it near the end of the show once I get into most of the topics. And that number there is for you. Again, if you are online and you are listening to the show on the podcast, that number is 515-602-9693. That is 515-602-9693. We're going to try this all week. See how it goes. The phone doesn't ring. The phone doesn't ring. No big deal. But I want to incorporate more phone calls on the show and some people who actually just want to listen in onto the show. So that's why the number is going to be there. I'm going to be promoting it a little more. I know this happened out of nowhere. And I did give no real warning that it was going to go or heads up that it was going to happen. But I'm going to be doing something like this a lot more, where you can call in and voice your opinion. If there's something about the topic you want to come in and talk about, that's it. What is the number of WTIC tomorrow? That is 860-522-WTIC, 860-522-WTIC. That's on tomorrow's show during the day. So, Haggis, I would love it if you called in. I'd love to have you on the phone. And always thank you for your support. So that's the number that's there. If you're interested in calling, put it into your phones. Again, 515-602-9693. I'm going to be promoting it. We'll get some people who wish to call in, and you'll be able to hang out. Okay? Do whatever it is you want to do. With that, what else did I have? I needed to make sure that. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I just totally forgot it. There it is. Okay. So tomorrow afternoon on WTIC, go to WTIC.com so you can listen to Reese on the Radio from 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm going to be on for 4 hours talking about anything and everything. Excuse me. Tomorrow's show, I'm going to be talking about that CHS, that cannabis story. It hasn't been associated with Snoop Dogg as of yet. Not that any details are coming anytime soon. I don't think he's going to address it, but people have been talking about it. Can you swear on the Reese on the Radio Rundown? I allow my listeners and people who call in to use any language they want, as long as it's not vulgar. But if you want to say the S word or maybe one or two F words, that's okay. But only on this platform, not on WTIC. that's the only time that you can do that. excuse me. My apologies. We try to keep it light here. So that's it. I think that's it. I've got to get up out of here. I've got to prepare for tomorrow's show. Plus, I got to get some paperwork that my wife just asked me about. I'm hoping that I can find this paperwork. If not, we're going to be screwed. I think that's it, right? Yeah, that's it. All right, folks, as I always say, radio is free, so we thank you for paying attention. Remember to keep JC in your hearts and in your minds. Sean Patrick, we love you and we miss you. Remember that panic is not planning, so plan your work and work your plan. Me, I'm Reese on the Radio. You have a good night and a pleasant tomorrow, because we hope to see you back here tomorrow, too. Don't forget, WTIC tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. All right, be good. Holler.